I'm so blessed and encouraged by this small book, simple, expensive book, in my studies on reading on the biblical concept of shalom. I came across this book as well, and it's written by Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove, The Wisdom of Stability, and the title of the scripture of the message. And I'm starting with a series. I'm not going to preach from it today, but the thoughts, I'm strongly influenced by it. It's the whole concept of, in our highly mobile world, in our highly volatile world, everything is changing and everyone's moving. I recently read again that there are 84.2 million people that are refugees, forcibly displaced from their homeland or their towns. So 40% in the country and 60% out of the country. So if you think about that number, it's the population of South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, and then some, of people that are forcibly displaced. And I know even in our congregation this morning, there are people that have been forcibly displaced from their homelands. And God is, and they're longing for home. They're longing for a sense of stability, a sense of rootedness, a sense of this is not the place that I'm supposed to be. So maybe you can just share that next slide. But it's not just that. It's not just those people that are living in the rearview mirror. There are those people that have been forcibly displaced because of disasters, economic or natural disasters, that fleeing from their space, they have to find a place of safety, a place of refuge, a place where they can make a living, either because of ethnical reasons, you know, the racial segregation and hatred, or because of disasters. And they're fleeing their homelands, always longing, always feeling as though, I don't belong here. I don't feel as though I'm making a living. I can't flourish here. But you know it's true that there are way more people in this congregation this morning, or in our cities or in the world, that are longing back for home, not because of disasters, but because of their desires. They have moved themselves. They have placed themselves. They're longing for somewhere. They believe that their good life is elsewhere. There's a place. There's another place. They are in this job at the moment, but they don't really like it. But they will stick with it until they get something else, and then they move on. Or they live in the city, and they hate the suburb, and they hate the city, but they're only staying there until they find another place. They keep their options open. We are a culture that want to keep our options open. We are a culture that don't want to settle. We want to go. There's a good life elsewhere, you know, and because of the global city that we're living in, because of economic trade and because of the virtual, in fourth industrial revolution, because of so many things, we are not bound by anything. And the sad reality is only those people, we've got the upwardly mobile people, only those people that are able to go can go, and the rest that are not able to go cannot go, and they get stuck. And we get small towns in the Free State, we get small towns in Northern Cape, small towns in Mpumalanga, small towns in Limpopo, small towns everywhere that are spookdorpe, nowhere towns, living off social grants with no services, with nothing. So the results of our culture that constantly believes that the good life is out there, is somewhere. What's that song? I know it's out there somewhere. You know, Alphaville. It's not what the song is about, but let's just go there. Anyway, so we're living out there. The good life is out there. You know, it's the shalom. You know, my flourishing, my prosperity is not here. It's there. So we never rooted. We're moving on and on and on. We are constantly enslaved by the idea that this is not shalom, that the good life cannot be found yet. And I want you to just deal with that, you know, because as a secular society, we say that we keep our options open and we're taking chances and there will be an opportunity for us when we're going. As Christians, we're saying, I think God has something else for me in mind. I think God has a blessing for me somewhere. I think God has a, you know, God will open a door for me. And what we're saying over and over and over again is we're saying, God's blessing isn't here. It's there. I should not expect the good life here, shalom here. It's there. It's there. It's out there. And that is what we're saying to one another over and over again. Can you give us a next slide, please? Well, so the whole pot in the end of the rainbow. It's such a cheesy picture, but I just thought I had to put it out there. You know, wil het net daar gesit het. the idea that is there. So I want us to just deal with this. So the results, obviously, keep the slide there, but the results of the belief that the good life is there, that prosperity is there, that success is there, that the nice life is there. You know, we know it causes the end of friendships, relationships, families, marriages, because someone else is better, some other place is better, you know? And then we deal, after a while, we figure out that, oops, my second friendships, relationships, is just like my first one, you know? Maybe it's because wherever you go, there you are, you know? I take myself there, you know? It's like, ah! No, she's just like my previous one. And I'm like, you are just like yourself, you know? Anyway, so we see that. And we find that we're constantly moving on, but it causes fractions in relationships, friendships, families left behind. It causes the breakage and just internal peace. We live anxious. We live in a pandemic of anxiety. We have lived with it before COVID. We live in a pandemic of anxiety. People are anxious and depressed. The amount of prescription drugs that people live on today, I'm not mocking, I'm saying this is real. We are living in anxiety. We are living in a depressed society. There is a joyless society. There is not peace. We struggle with it. This is because of the idea that where I am, I will not find peace. I'm responsible for my success, my prosperity. It's up to me. And if I don't do something, nothing's going to happen. We live enslaved by the idea that it really depends on me. And so the pressure is a lot. And obviously, we've been living in a pandemic of loneliness coined 20 years ago. Now, if we've suffered from loneliness 20 years ago, imagine today, when people have been isolated forcibly around the world, every single city, for so long. People are struggling, and the results are really this. And then obviously we get the fractures, you heard me say this earlier, between races and classes, because there are people coming in that shouldn't be here, that take our jobs, that take our stuff, and people that shouldn't be here. So we live with the stresses of a fractured society. Those that are left behind are living in poverty and bitterness and anger, waiting that somewhere, someday, someone will come by and load them in the truck and take them somewhere, and the rest of the people that are uplift mobile are moving. So I've taken a few minutes. I just want to sketch you the society that we're living in, and it all comes down to the idea that God's blessing is elsewhere. The good life is not here. It's there. Good life cannot be here. The good life is there. I'm waiting for God to open a door to the good life somewhere. And this is why I'm loving this book by Jonathan Wilson Hartman. So the reason why I picked up the copy of the book, started reading it, and I read through the first half too fast, and I stopped, and I just put it off because it goes too fast, too quick. You know, it's like it's substantial, it's easy reading, but I'm like, flip it, this is so simple, this is so difficult. And wisdom usually is. It's a very simple, obvious thing. It's so difficult to do. It's so obvious to know it, stability. It's so difficult to apply it. It's so difficult to change my thinking and my behavior to live this way. We know it, and you know, because of your time schedule and because of your budget. You know it's quite simple. You earn and then you spend. Yeah? It's simple. We struggle with that because there's a special right now. Oh, wow. I'll sort it out later. And we get ourselves in stress the whole time. And this is one of those simple, practical things where it's exactly the same thing. Practical wisdom, very simple. So I want us to look at a scripture. So anyway, let me just tell you a story. So he grew up in a nowhere town in the south of Carolina, one of those tobacco farmer communities. And when the I-85 was built in the 90s, the 80s and 90s in America, came through there, everyone who could jump on a truck or a bus jumped on it, and those that couldn't find employment got left behind. You know, it's like left behind. It's a story of, you know, Christianity. They got stuck at the back, and so the society just degraded even worse into alcoholism, into addiction, into prostitution and gangsterism. So that's the little town. And him, just by nature of the giftedness, he could learn to read and write fast and quickly, and he got academically, he got out of there quickly. Got a bursary, went to college, went to university, went to Europe. And he found himself, so he grew up knowing Jesus powerfully, and he found himself in Europe, and he felt a sense of a lack of rootedness. He has people that he's met, you know, he's been there for 6 months or a year, and he didn't neglect God, but he didn't find himself in a God community, because all the songs that they were singing is so that he grew up with and that he was singing in Europe was, God will come one day and take us away from this place to heaven and it will be nice. You know, the same story over and over. God's blessing and prosperity is there. It's not here. It's out there in the sky. When the chariots come by, I will fly away. You know, it's like that whole idea that it's not here. Don't expect it here. Hang on. It will come one day. And it's the same story over and over. So he found himself estranged from community, like so many people who do. You know, what's the point? And then it's some weird way he landed in a community where people intentionally followed Benedictine monastery principles of first vow, I'll get stuck in this community. I'm going to stay here. You know, this community, not in a monastery, in a city. I'm going to stay here with these people. God's blessing is here. And God's blessing means that these people around me are my gifts, are gifts from God. And my peace is here with them, with these awkward people that get under my skin. And the closer they come to me, the more they get under my skin. I think that's the gift of children and a wife and spouse and mothers and fathers. It's like you cannot run away. Our society runs away. But anyway, so it's like the whole blessing. And he said it transformed him so deeply that eventually he said, but if it is true that God can bless me where I am, well, Dallas Willard always says, it's impossible for God to bless you where you're not. And obviously it's a silly statement, but it's the point. Wherever you go, there you are. God can only bless you where you are. He cannot bless you. Sorry, he blesses you where you are. God's blessing is here. God is present here. God is good to me here. So he said, well, if that's true, then I should get back to my little town, tobacco-entrenched, addicted, gang-infested, poor town. And then it's possible for God to bless me there. If it's possible for God to bless me where I am, maybe God can bless me where I ran away from. So we went home to his town, and this is his story of 20 years later of him living that. So I want us to look at a biblical example of this, and I want us to just read the quote of mobility by the 12th century. Ooh, jette, dankie. 12th century, so we have a water situation here today. 12th century, this is the desert father, and he wrote and he said, Anselm said, restless people are like trees. When they are frequently transplanted or often disturbed, they will not take root anywhere, but they wither and they die. If he often moves from place to place at his own whim or remains agitated because of the hatred of the place that he lives in, his heart is not connected, that's the issue. This unhappy person will never achieve stability with the roots of love. I want you to hang on to that phrase, stability with the roots of love. And it's amazing how often in the scripture we are related to trees that are planted and rooted. Psalm 1, Jeremiah 17, New Testament. We are the trees that are planted next to a river, planted, established. It is possible with success to transplant a tree. It is possible for trees to be transplanted. It is possible. But we know that the cost to the tree is a lot if he makes it. There's a risk and there's a cost to the tree. But the tree being planted is not just prospered in himself. It is prospering the whole community. It has a massive impact. The fruit and the shade and the security and the shelter that it brings is a blessing to the whole community. The longer the tree stays, the greater it transforms the community in which it grows. And that is the substance of his quote. So I just took a small quote out of it. So stability, the bedrock of sustaining shalom. Without roots, we become enslaved by insatiable desires. We are never, ever, and this is the big thing that I want to talk about. Although there are communities and peoples that are forcibly removed, displaced, most people in the world today are not displaced forcibly, but it's our desires, our covetousness. We are not content with what we have. And what eventually happens is we become consumers of the people we are at. I will get as much as I can and learn as much as I can from this community, all the wisdom and all the whatever we can get here. And then I will be out of here somewhere where the good life is, where my good life is, where my good life is. So we become consumers of the people. I will stay in this job as long as I can to get everything I can, and then I'll move on. So we sit with a culture of consumerism. And we become disconnected from Christ to actually love this place and love these people. We don't get that Jesus gave himself to these people, and we're not emulating Jesus giving himself to these people. We're not embodying that love. And then last thing, and this is a big thing I want to talk about, and this is a scripture we're going to read. We become ignorant of God who is present. Every single song we sang this morning is about God being present to his people. Psalm 46. God being present to his people, that the Lord is my shepherd, that you wanted to share. God is present to my people. Now, if God is present here, what more do I need? If God is present here. Now, the big thing is, and this is what I read, I want to read us Jacob's story. And I'm picking up, obviously, in verse 10, the conflict started in the previous chapter. We know the story. So it says that Jacob left Beersheba. For those of us who haven't heard the story for a long while, let me just tell the backstory. We'll be quick. So Jacob wanted, he wanted it all and he wanted now. You know, he was the first queen song. I want it all and I want it now. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get the blessing from my dad. I'm going to grab it from him. I want everything. I want everything he can give me. And he had a brother, and he decided that I'll be the one who receives the blessing. Now, it worked in that family because one was absolutely ignorant and didn't want the blessing, and the other one wanted everything. And the substance of the blessing is the core story here, that there really is a blessing which Abraham had to give to his sons, which Isaac had to give to his sons. And we find Jacob tricking and scheming his way, lying his way to get the blessing. And then he gets the blessing from his father. And obviously, there's a very angry brother that didn't want to be there. They didn't want him. He wanted to kill him. And if your brother is, as the picture depicts there, the big bear guy and you're the nerd, then the wise thing is to run away. Run away. Step away from the vehicle. Run. And he ran. And this is where we pick up the story. So it wasn't just him leaving. He was fleeing from the consequences of his trickery. He was fleeing from the violence of his brother, who is fleeing from the shame in which the whole community know what he did. So he was running away from everything because he believed, although he got the blessing from God, the good life's not going to be here. It's not going to be here. I'm going to run to a place where no one knows me, no one knows my issues. I've got what I wanted to. I got what I wanted from my job. Let me run. And he came to a certain place, and he stayed there that night. So a certain place, I want you to get there. A random place. It's a freaking random place. He ran until the sun went down, and then he slept. So it's not as though there was a monumentous place. It was just a place. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and on top of which reached the heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending. This is like God's activity, God's movement right here. God is present and God's activity is here. These angels are moving to order things in his way. It's amazing. And behold, the Lord stood, Yahweh, stood above it and he said, I am Yahweh, I'm the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land on which you lie, I will give to you, the land, this land that you're trying to run away from. I want to bless you with this land. And to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall be spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So it's not just that I want to bless you. I want to bless you, the whole world, from this place, from here, where you are. The angels are here. God is here. I want to bless you, and you are the chosen one. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. And behold, I'm with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. So God knew that this guy was running. I will keep you wherever you go, and I'm going to bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, wow, surely the Lord Yahweh is in this place. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. I thought I had a blessing, which is like a credit card, that I can go somewhere and use it. I missed the point that Yahweh himself is in this place. I missed it. I missed that God is here, yeah, and he wants to bless me. I missed that God is... I knew the stories, but I never knew him. I didn't know he was here. I didn't know he was active here. And he was afraid, and he said, wow, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is freaking amazing. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head, and he set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. It was previously named Luz at first. I'm going to stop the story there. Then he fled the scene. And when I read this piece, I was like, man, this is our culture. This is me. This is our story. This is us. It's like a man who certainly seeks the blessing of God, a man who had character flaws, a man who was a real person, a man who lived in a family and there was conflict and there was favoritism. It's like a normal guy. It's like normal family. Every family has this story. A man who did everything he can to get this blessing, and he got it. And then, when he got it, he got everyone upset in the family and the whole community. And he lived with the shame of who he truly was. Everyone knew that this is a schemer, this is a liar. He was not just a mommy's boy anymore. He's a schemer and a liar. It's bad. And he's like, man, if I want to live, I need a clean slate. I need a fresh start. I have to go elsewhere because it's not going to happen here. And he got on the first donkey that came by, and he ran. But I love it. That evening, God came to him. God revealed himself to him and said, I want you to know something. I want the visceral experience for you to know that I am not far away from you. I am here. I will bless you here. And God in his grace said, I know you're running. I'm waiting for you here. Your story is here. Your prosperity is here. Your stability is here. Stay. When you stay here, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. It's amazing. Genesis chapter 12 and 13. The same thing happened to Abram, who landed there, and he said, the place looks a bit dry. And then he went to Egypt, had chaos, and came back, and God blessed him there and prospered him there. Same story. So I want us to just to look in this text like we always do. If this text is a mirror to me, if we read this text as a mirror, God, how can I identify with this text? God, how are you showing myself and my culture to this? I think it's quite clear. He's a normal man who lived for a while with himself, and he had conflict with the people closest to him. And it wasn't shalom. It wasn't good. He didn't enjoy it. It wasn't good. There was conflict. There was craziness. And he did love it. I love it, that story. But God knows that he had to, for him to experience shalom, he had to come back and make peace with that guy who wants to kill him, with Bear Grylls waiting for him. He had to come back to Bear Grylls and say, I know I stole everything from it. The irony is, obviously, that Esau said, it's okay, dude. God blessed me anyway. It's okay. You can't touch this. Da, da, da. God blessed me anyway. He came back. But this is what I love with the story. There's this Oma Theodora. I got it from this book, but it's so beautiful. She was an Egyptian, one of the desert mothers in Egypt in the 5th, 6th century. And she wrote this beautiful quote of a monk that lived in the monastery. And the monk, the people in that monastery just got under his skin. He couldn't anymore. He couldn't. He had this conflict and was not like people were around him, but he couldn't be there anymore. And then the account that she wrote down, is that the guy let the master know of the monastery, father of the monastery, and said, I'm leaving. And they tried to persuade him because he made a vow of staying. He says, no, it's not going to be good for you to go. He says, no, I'm going to another monastery. I'm going to find another place, clean state, clean start. And he sat down in his cell and he got his sandals on and he put his sandals on. And then this other guy who knew that I'm the reason why you're running came to him next to him and put on his sandals next to him. And he said to him, what are you doing? He says, is it on my account that you're running away? Is it on my account? Am I the reason why you don't want to be here? And the guy said, yes. He says, well, let it be known that wherever you're going to go, I'm going to go with you. And I'm going to go before you to every single place you're going to be. You can't run away from me. And that is the reality that Jacob had to live. Jacob thought that he had an issue with Esau, who was the favorite one, the promised one. But the story after this tells the story that every single place that he went, he had exactly the same conflict because wherever you go, there you are. It's you. It's you. And his shalom is not caused by people not knowing his past. His prosperity, his goodness, has everything to do with the fact that he has the grace from God to see this happen, to see this sort out, to see this come right. If God is going to bless me here, then my prosperity and my shalom, my good life, is locked up with these people around me. It's here. Shalom is here. Shalom is not a place where everyone's perfect. Shalom is a place where God brings healing and restoration where we are. So it's beautiful. Shame because of his betrayal. He had to wrestle with God. He had his mark for the rest of his life. He became known as Israel because he had to wrestle with the fact that I am a person that causes division and strife because of my constant incessant need for more. And God had to deal with him. He had to wrestle when he came back to the Jabbok River, right to this place where he met him. He had to wrestle. God had to deal with him and for him to be transformed so that he can have peace within himself and that through him, everyone around him can be blessed. He had a moment of humility with God. And he also, I just want to point this out, he had a desire for a new community, a new way of life, a new place. And we get this. We get this. We get frustrated with the people around us. I see this as a text in myself, and I'm going like, you know, we get tired of disappointing others, and we get tired of being disappointed with others. Disappointed is a euphemism here. The word is much stronger, obviously. Frustreerd, met extreme vorme. And we get frustrated with that. But the truth is that wherever we go, people will be people. And I will be I. And God is going to have to do something that grace flows from us. We have to learn to love the others that are different from us. And therein is the gift of shalom that we read here, the gift of that Jacob was looking for. The second story, and the second thing is, first of all, this text is a mirror for me. How do I see myself in this? And we see ourselves in this. Maybe you're sitting here today and you have to do this because your spouse, you know, is the person that needs to read this. Maybe you are the spouse that needs to read this. Anyway. And then the second one is the window. And this is what I love. This man is fleeing because he wants the good life. He wants the blessing of God. He wants a clean slate. He got the green ticket of God's blessing. He wants to get it out now. And the story is beautiful because God comes to him and he says to him, you want to be blessed? I'm going to bless you. I know what you did last week. I know you're scheming. I know everything about you. I know it. I also know that you want my blessing. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to bless you. God says, I'm going to bless you. And this is what he had to hear, that the blessing of God is not based on his performance. It's a gift. The good life is a gift. Shalom is a gift. And the good life is in me. God says, I will be with you. I am the God. I will bless you where you are. God says, even if you run away, I'm going, he's like that monk. He says, you want to run, I'm going to run away with you. I'm going to bring yourself face to face, but I will bless you where you are. And it's true. He's saying that I am the gift. You don't earn this blessing. Jacob, you're a schemer, you're a liar, you're a crook. Shameful, man. Your own brother, your own father. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm not blessing you based on your performance, your ability, your skill, how religious life you live. God says, I'm going to bless you because I choose to bless you. That's who I am. And the amazing thing is that I want to highlight here is that God is going to bless him because of a promise that he made when he chose Abraham. Abraham did nothing. He chose Abraham. And because God is going to bless the world, God says, I want to bless you to be a blessing. And we hear this a lot, but I want you to get this. Jacob, you will be blessed because I am busy redeeming the world. I'm busy making all things new. Jacob, I am at work in the world, and you are incidental in my story. You're very precious to me. You're one of the people that I want to bless. But Jacob, this picture is bigger than you. This picture is bigger than you. You are incidental. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your descendants. You don't even know it. But Israel will be famous forever because of you. You don't even know that name, but that's you. And it's not about you. It is about the fact that I am busy redeeming the whole world. I'm bringing shalom back to the world. You're part of my story. Where sin entered the garden, my story with you is part of that. And I love this story. It's a gift. It's a gift. The blessing is a gift. You can't earn it. The gifting is a gift. And maybe the next slide, you can just show it. It is a task. The blessing is a gift and it's a task. Shalom is a gift and a task. The good life is something that I want to give you. And once I've given it to you, I want you to participate with it. The best thing we can do as believers, as Christians, as people who believe that God is good and that God is restoring the world to himself in Christ, the best thing we can do is to stay put where we are and to watch the world transform around us. The blessing flows. And Jacob didn't know it. Jacob thought that he's the one who's supposed to make his future happen, his success happen. He must make this happen. He didn't know it. He didn't know that God is going to bless him anyway. All his scheming, all his lying, all his stuff. And God wants to bless him to be a blessing. And when he realized it, it made him stay. Made him stick in a land that wasn't prosperous. Wasn't prosperous before, but it became a prosperous place because he was there. In a land where there wasn't peace, but because he stuck, there was a resolution, there was forgiveness, there was reconciliation. And he didn't know it, but God was working. God had worked this miracle in Esau, his brother, way before he got there. He didn't know it. He thought, it's all up to me. And God's like, I'm working. I'm working. Descendants of Abraham are going to be blessed. I'm working. And my blessing goes through you. It's a beautiful thing. It's a grace and it's a mission. We're created to keep and cultivate the earth. Nothing changes. Keep and cultivate shalom. Make it good. And then if this picture is not just a mirror where I can see myself or the promise that we can see in of God's kingdom at work in Jacob's life, then this is also a door for us, an invitation. This text is a door for us. It's a door for us to open. And what I saw was just so beautiful. That the point is, the first thing that he says is, can you see that this is the house of God? Jacob had a dream. And the worst way you can read that text is to go, oh, there is one gate of God in Bethel, and you will have to go there to find it. It's the worst way you can read this text. It's written in such a way that he ran until it was dark, and there he put his head down, and there he could see that the whole earth is filled with the glory of God, that God is always at work in every place, in every person, revealing his grace. It's not a place that is special. He had a moment, and he missed it. He poured oil on top of it, and he goes like, oh, this is a special place. And like, it's a special place, like every other place where God is, and God is everywhere. God is not so much about the place as he is about the person. I'm coming for you, Jacob. I'm coming for you. You were tired. You fell down. Just before you go further, I just want to say that I'm here to bless you. I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm going to give you this land, this piece of ground. I'm going to give it to you. Don't run away, Jacob. And Jacob missed it, and he ran away because he didn't believe it. Until he came back from his frustration, until his sins caught up with him in Laban and everyone else, and he had to come back. He came back to the place, and he's like, can we have this conversation again? Let's talk about this character that constantly causes division. You want to experience pain, peace? I want to start with you. The first thing is that we realize that this is the house of God. Where you live, where you work, where you sit, where you worship, this is the house of God. That God is present. God is not far from us. That's the kingdom that Jesus came to preach. He says, just put out your hand. Thank you. The kingdom of God is within your reach. It's right here. It's not far. It's right here. God is at work right here. Can you see that it's not just that God is here, but can you see the angels ascending and descending? Can you see God's activity right around you? It's metaphor speech to say God is moving right where you are. That his kingdom is coming and it's working to redeem all things to himself. Such a beautiful space. The scripture we wanted to read earlier. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And David said, I will dwell in the house of God always. I'm going to dwell in the house of God always. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to dwell in the house of God. I'm never far from God. God is never far from me. God is able to bless me here. Yeah. Yeah. It's true that God said to Abraham, go. Go. Leave your place. Move. Step away. It's true that Jesus said, go. Go into the world. Share the blessing that you've received. Share the good news. Share. It's more true to say that it's necessary to stay where you are to manifest the peace of God where you are. When you get to a place, park, plant, live, experience the grace of God right there. It's easy for us as humans to run away because things aren't lekker. run away in the hope that things will be better somewhere. We become consumers of people, we become consumers of jobs, we become consumers of stuff. I just want to take what I have to get somewhere. You know, I'm going to grab my stuff and I'm going to get there. I'm going to get equipped. The biblical mandate is, the Lord said, Jacob, I want to bless you where you are. I'm going to give you this land. Jacob, my gift is, can you open your eyes to see that this is my house, that I'm present, that I'm active here? Can you trust me that I can give you whatever your heart's desire is right here? Can you trust me? Can you wrestle with your ambitions, wrestle with your restlessness in your hearts, and plant down, because I'm going to bless you where you are. Plant down, stay put, and see how God transforms your community. We're going to continue with this series for a while. We sang the song as well in the beginning, just the last slide up there. Yeah, that one. It's the Lord of hosts is with us. And the instruction during tumultuous times, during tumultuous times, that's a good word. Thank you, Dale. Dale and my wife is my English. They is my English. Sorry. Dale and Magrit am my English advisors. They are my English advisors. Anyway, but the point is, he said that the Lord of hosts is with us. He breaks chariots, he does all these things, and then the invitation is to be still and to know that God is here. God is God, and he brings peace on the earth where we are. The peace, I want to say, is not just a head thing. It's not just a head and heart thing. It's actually a transformation in socioeconomic environment in which we live. God actually transforms community as we pay attention to neighborliness. I'll continue with this next week on the camp, and for those staying, I've already recorded the message. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you that you are here, God. God, we like Jacob. Our society is certainly like Jacob, God. Our culture is like Jacob, God. We want to grab what we want and want to go elsewhere, God. We want to find a peaceful place somewhere, a new community to belong to, new people to be there, God, until it becomes not lacking, and then we want to move on again. God, we want to find our riches and our blessings, God, and then move on from place to place because we never, ever settled. We don't believe in our hearts of hearts that you are able to bless us here, God. We don't think that you can, God. Although we believe, God, but we thank you. I pray for me and for us, God, that we will have this Jacob experience, God. I pray that you will, in some way unique to us, God, that you will reveal to us that you are present and that you are for us, God. That you are for us, that you want to bless us where we are, God. That it's possible to enjoy the good life. And Lord, that not just that, but that our complete environment may change around us because of love manifesting from us, God. Neighborliness manifesting from us. That the kingdom of God actually breaks through. And that there will be peace where we are, God. I pray that you will manifest to us. God, I thank you that like Jacob, that we are the recipients of your blessings in Abraham. I thank you, like Jacob, God, that you don't just want to bless us, God, but you want to bless communities and peoples and neighborhoods through us. And today, God, all we say is, will you reveal to us that you are for us, and will you bless us? In Jesus' name, amen.